Things Which Must Shortly Come to Pass by Professor David Engelsma. Chapter 4, Post-Millennialism, Part 22. The Reformed Amillennial, Critique of Post-Millennialism, Continued. In my critique of post-millennialism, I am examining the alleged biblical basis of the doctrinal error. I have considered the Old Testament prophecies, especially Isaiah 65 and Matthew 24. Yet another passage of Scripture that is important to the post-millennial doctrine is Romans 11, especially verses 25 and 26. Verse 25 reads, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." And verse 26 reads, "And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob." The importance of Romans 11 to postmillennialism is that, on the postmillennial reading of the chapter, Romans 11 verse 26 predicts a dramatic historical event in the future, prior to the second coming of Christ. This event is thought to be the conversion to Jesus Christ of large numbers of Jews. This prediction, therefore, is a kind of concrete, biblical warrant for the postmillennial dream of the future conversion of a majority of the human race and the resultant transformation of the world into the glorious, earthly kingdom of Christ. If large numbers of the Jewish race and nation are to be converted, the postmillennial teaching of the conversion of large numbers of the entire race does not seem so biblically suspect as otherwise would be the case. The postmillennial explanation of Romans 11, especially verses 25 and 26, is as follows. At some time, still in the future, prior to the second coming of Christ, the Spirit of Christ will convert large numbers of Jews, likely the vast majority. This will be a restoration of the nation of Israel. Most postmillennialists have supposed that this mass conversion will involve a restoration of the Jews to the land of Canaan. This conversion of the Jews is viewed as the beginning of the millennium, or golden age, the perfection of the messianic kingdom, for the conversion of the Jews in large numbers will signal, and somehow serve to realize, a similar conversion of the majority of the entire human race. Because the majority of mankind will become Christians, the Jews leading the way, they will dominate all of earthly life over all the world. With the Christian church in power, earthly peace will settle upon all nations and peoples, and earthly prosperity will be enjoyed by all. The conversion of the Jews will betoken and commence the earthly reign of King Jesus in and over the world for 1,000 years. Lane H. Murphy presents and advocates the doctrine of the Puritans regarding the large-scale conversion of Jews and its significance for the millennial kingdom of Christ. For the Puritans of the 17th century, the future of the Jews had decisive significance because, with the calling of the Jews, there will come far-reaching blessing for the world. The Puritans expected a large and visible addition of Jews to Christ's church and looked to Romans 11:25-26 for their chief authority. On Puritan thinking, the passage prophesies a famous, notorious, universal calling of the Jews, so that the body of the Jews is received again. At some time in the future, Murray, an enthusiast for revivals, explains, "There is a great revival predicted here. The Jewish revival will bring Israel as a mass into the church." With appeal to Romans 11, verse 15, "What shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead?" Murray and the Puritans propose that the revival that will convert the Jews will bring revival to the world. That is, the conversion of the majority of Jews will somehow lead to the conversion of large numbers of Gentiles. And this will be the onset of the millennium for which postmillennialists, including Lane Murphy, dream and argue. Vast numbers of the natural descendants of Abraham will own and serve their Redeemer in the latter-day glory. In arguing for the latter-day glory of postmillennialism, Murray takes note of Herman Hoeksma's objection. that the Bible foretells the very opposite of peace and prosperity for the church before Christ's coming. Murray responds by asserting that much of the biblical prophecy of tribulation, for example, Matthew 24, has already been fulfilled in the destruction of Jerusalem. Regarding the crucially important matter of the interpretation of the biblical warnings of apostasy and tribulation in the last days, immediately preceding the coming of Christ, Murray shows himself a preterist, as all postmillennialists are compelled to be. The great tribulation predicted for the Jews on account of their apostasy has been fulfilled. In 2 Timothy 3, another passage prophesying hard times for the church, Paul was thinking primarily of his own time. But preterism does not solve all of postmillennialism's problems with New Testament prophecy concerning the last days. Especially the book of Revelation casts dark shadows on the rosy picture of the future painted by Murray and other postmillennialists. Despite his preterist interpretation of many passages of Scripture that forewarn of troubles and tribulation for the church in the future, Murray must acknowledge that the Scriptures seem to indicate a time of serious declension immediately preceding the Advent. The final solution is to futurize these Scriptures. That is, all such predictions of apostasy and tribulation refer to the period after the millennium. Between the Golden Age and the coming of Christ, many of the Jews and Gentiles who professed faith in Christ and showed themselves saints will fall away from Christ and become hostile to the church. Thus, the earthly power, peace, and prosperity of the millennium are secured. Whatever threatens the millennium is either thrust into the past or projected far into the future. Nothing in Scripture may jeopardize the millennium. But this solution does not imply that the victory of Christ in the millennial kingdom, an earthly victory, according to postmillennialism, leaves much to be desired. It is not a lasting victory. In fact, in the end, the millennial kingdom will be defeated and broken up in history. And this is a heavy, if not fatal, blow to postmillennialism, driven as it is by the conviction that Christ must have an earthly victory within history. Christian Reconstruction postmillennialism is in agreement with the Puritans regarding the conversion of the Jews as the start of the millennium. With appeal to Romans 11, David Chilton has written that someday a majority among ethnic Israel will be saved. The people of Israel as a whole will turn back to the faith of their fathers and will acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. This conversion of the Jews will usher in the millennium. The conversion of Israel will result in an era of great blessings for the entire world. This is when the biblical promises of the kingdom's earthly blessings will reach their highest and most complete fulfillment. Also, the Dutch Reformed postmillennialist Wilhelmus Abrakel understood Romans 11 as teaching the conversion of the entire Jewish nation prior to Christ's coming. The conversion of the Jews will be followed by the glorious millennial state of the church upon earth. The proof of this expectation we derive from Romans 11. What this future conversion of the Jews will entail, Brackel indicated, Jerusalem would be rebuilt and be further expanded, and also the unclean places in Jerusalem would be removed. The Jewish nation will once most certainly be converted and be reestablished in her country. This conversion of the Jewish nation will be the occasion of the conversion of the Gentiles on a large scale, and basic to the realization of the millennium. The general conversion of Israel will bring about much more blessing, light, life, and zeal among the Gentiles. In his untranslated explanation of the revelation of John, Brackel wrote, "The entire Jewish nation shall acknowledge our Lord Jesus to be the true and only, and their promised Messiah, shall be converted to him, and shall love, honor, and glorify him uniquely. The knowledge of the Lord Jesus, the love to him, the zeal for him, the holiness of life, and the glory shall be so great in the Jewish nation that the Gentiles shall flow to them and to faith in Christ." For this conception of the conversion of the Jews and its significance in ushering in the millennium, Brackel appealed to Romans 11, verse 15. indicating a grievous theological error in the thinking of Brackel and others concerning a future conversion of the nation of Israel, is Brackel's application of the Old Testament prophecies of the future salvation and glory of Israel to racial Jews today, not to the New Testament church. Ezekiel 37, Isaiah 62, Zechariah 14, and many more Old Testament prophecies, according to Brackel, refer strictly to physical descendants of Abraham. For Brackel, the church is not the New Testament reality of Old Testament Israel. Brackel also refused to explain the blessings promised in the Old Testament as spiritual, that is, as the blessings of spiritual salvation. Brackel denied that the Old Testament text mentioned above speak of the glorious state of the church of the New Testament, and that the promises of blessedness and glory refer to spiritual matters, rather than to the conversion of the Jews and their restoration to Canaan. Rather, Brackel insisted, with every text we have shown emphatically that they speak of Israel and what would befall them according to soul and body. This doctrine smacks of the gross error of dispensationalism, which sees Old Testament Israel and the New Testament church as two different peoples, rather than as the one church of Christ. It is fundamental Reformed doctrine that Old Testament Israel was not merely an earthly nation of racial Jews, but the immature form of the church of believers and their spiritual seed. It is fundamental Reformed doctrine that the New Testament church of believers and their children out of all nations and of all races is the fulfillment, the mature reality, of Old Testament Israel. What dost thou believe concerning the Holy Catholic Church? That out of the whole human race, from the beginning to the end of the world, the Son of God by His Spirit and Word gathers, defends, and preserves for Himself unto everlasting life a chosen communion in the unity of the true faith. The Reformed faith rejects the notion that there will one day be a restoration of the nation of Israel in any manner, and the notion that such a restoration will involve a return to the Jews to the earthly Canaan, the rebuilding of Jerusalem, and the renewal of even some of the ceremonies of the Old Testament.